And welcome to our little campsite here in St. Joe. And joining us on this Saturday evening of Chiefs Live, I'm Mitch Holtis with you, voice of the Chiefs, and the 15-year long snapper, Pro Bowl long snapper, Kendall Gammon. What a day today here in St. Joe. It's always one of my favorite days, family fun day, but this one, this was the best day of camp so far to me. Missouri Western, Kendall, said 6,500 fans here today. They were everywhere. What did you sense in the energy, first of all, of the fans, and then what did that do to kind of translate to the team today?
Well, certainly the fans were into it. When you had touchdowns being thrown, the fans are going nuts, having a great time, shouting out words of encouragement the whole time. I think that's so good for a team which, you're in the dog days a little bit of a camp, because we talked about it last night. I'm talking about it as a media side of things. It's only a week until the game. When you're a player, I'm telling you right now, if you're a week away, you're like, man, is this camp ever going to end? I mean, you have to watch out for that. But you can feed off that energy. I go back to my days when I was with the Steelers, and we had 4,000 or 5,000 plus each day, and you can feed off that energy. It is a good thing. The players recognize it. They appreciate it. Sometimes it's much needed.
Well, also today, it was, to me, the best day the offense has had so far here in St. Joe, going all the way back to when the rookies reported on July the 22nd. What did you see today as far as the offense maybe taking a jump forward?
You know what? I thought they were in rhythm. I thought it was a quick snap count, doing a lot of good things. And really, when it comes down to it, Mitch, we've talked about this. The NFL, it's playmakers making plays. And what you saw today was a lot of guys, a lot of playmakers making plays. Number 11, Alex Smith, delivering the ball where only his receiver can catch it or nobody. And then people like Dwayne Bowe, like Dexter McCluster, going and getting the ball, whether it's over their shoulder or whether it's down low at their knees, because that's where it has to be placed. I tweeted today the fact that if Alex Smith was a bowler, he's knocking 11 pins down at a time. The guy was just flat out getting it done. So that type of thing is very, very good. I always look at the NFL, it's this. It's playmakers. You're either a playmaker or you're knocking somebody down so somebody else can make a play. And Alex Smith, in this case, it's his job to get the ball into the hands of the playmakers.
I was particularly encouraged, Kendall, to your point. I saw different guys make plays. This was Moyaki's best day. Mm-hmm. I tweeted out maybe since 2010. He was really good today. Travis Kelce went down, to your point, to the ankles to get one for a touchdown. Dwayne Bowe, saw him do good things. Donnie Avery made a couple of big catches. But the NFL, there's a scheme here, and I love the scheme Andy Reid has. You can call it West Coast, whatever you want to. But you talked about playmaking. There's scheme, but what about the league and making a unique play, either when the scheme breaks down or within the scheme? Because we, frankly, have not seen enough of that here in Kansas City. Are you seeing more plays now?
I am, and I think what you're alluding to, Mitch, is the fact of you can scheme all you like, and you can do some great things, but when it comes down to it, every once in a while, even if the scheme's not perfect, somebody's got to step up and make a play because they're the superior athlete. They're the superior person on the field at the time. It's the offensive and defensive jobs of the coaches to get those matchups, find them, and exploit them, and then those guys that are paid to make those plays, and that's what they're brought here to do, they've got to go out and do their job.
Another guy's Junior Hemingway. And there's times he wears 88, you're thinking, is that Mario Manningham? But what about Junior Hemingway? Because he seems to be showing up now.
You know, I like it. I know he's not blazing fast, but he's a big receiver. I believe he may be a four core right now. He's on most all of the special teams, and that tells you that they think something of him there. Special teams, very, very important. I like him. I mean, maybe you call him a possession receiver. I don't know. That's not a downgrade. The fact is, I saw him on some crossing routes do a good job. He catches the ball with his hands out away from his body. He runs hard. He's a big receiver. He's a big target to find, and you like that.
I tweeted out today. You can check me out at Mitch Holtis, by the way. Follow me on Twitter, and you are?
At Kendall Gammon.
It's easy. It's
yeah, I'm not that bright.
But I'm not either. But I tweeted out, I said, what a day. And there's a photo there. When you check the tweet that I put out there, and it was remarkable. The colors of this day, the energy, as you talked about. And the energy was felt not only by the players and the fans. The coaches felt it as well. In specific, the head coach. We had a chance to hear from Andy Reid.
Great turnout today, huh, by the fans. We appreciate that. And the players, they feel that. I thought it was good work. Both sides today, they're trading back and forth. Had a couple live periods. Had a backed-up period, which is very important. We're trying to get all these game situations taken care of before our first game here in 6 days, is it? So we got to make sure we got that all taken care of. That's one of them. very important one. And then we had a move the ball period, ran the ball a little bit more. There's more run influence in that. I thought the guys handled it well, both sides handled it well. So all in all, good day of work. Well, we've had live periods, so we had two of them today. What's the next step? The next step's going into the game, right? And you start off with the preseason games. You see how they handle that when the lights come on, and then you come back, you practice some more, and then you go through another couple of those, right? Three of them, and then you get ready for the season, and then you see how it works during the season. And every team's got its own personality that they develop, and this is part of it. This is kind of where it starts, and then gradually goes on, and you've got highs and lows that you work through, so you see how they handle that. Everybody does that different.
When Andy Reid says live period, he means it. Other than the quarterbacks, everybody's fair game. Kelce took a shot today. Jamaal Charles took a couple shots today. What are your thoughts on live period, what he said, getting into New Orleans, bounce off New Orleans, then you go again, then the thought of being live today and getting after it?
Well, from the offensive standpoint, when you get into a preseason game, now all of a sudden it's not a shock because you've been dealing with it a little bit. And conversely, when you go over the defensive side of the ball, now all of a sudden you're just not going up and maybe trying to block tackle or thud people. You're used to taking people down. I like that. As simple as that. I like that.
I think of the 2011 first preseason game of four dives into the I don't think that's going to happen this year in the New Orleans game. You get that sense?
I'm going to go with that, yes.
It was a good day today. Again, a lot of energy today. Dexter McCluster was one of the stars today. Again, he's had two of the bigger plays in this camp, an 80-yard touchdown to start things when all 90 players were here last week, and today he got it done again. Dexter McCluster on a deep post pattern from Alex Smith in a blitz period. What about that play and Dexter McCluster so far?
Well, that play, I like the fact that he's not even into his break when Alex is releasing the ball, and that's what you've got to do to really hit those big plays. Alex put a nice top on it in terms of the ball going up high over everybody, giving Dexter a chance to run under it. But in general, Dexter presents a lot of problems. We talked about it at the beginning of the show, the matchups and getting them on them. Dexter is a tough guy because he's so quick. He can just cut one way and go the other. You see smash routes, Will, he'll go to the inside, and all of a sudden he's right back to the outside. You see the quick post pattern out of the backfield, things of that nature. He's just one of those guys that, as an offensive guru, you like to be able to sit there and just come up with ways to use him, because I think you're going to see a lot of different things from Dexter this year.
He's a crowd favorite. They love him here in St. Joe, but he loved the crowd today. It was going the other way as Dexter McCluster reacted to Family Fun Day.
Today?
I think it went well today. You know, great atmosphere. You know, the fans being out here kind of gave us a game-type situation, and you always want to, you know, give the fans a show. And I think everybody on both sides, offense, defense, and special teams, came out and worked hard today.
It's been a little tough for the offense at times, but it looked like yesterday and then again today you guys have started to take more steps forward and then maybe backwards.
Yeah, as an offense, you can only get better or you can get worse. And, you know, every day we're here late at night watching film, you know, trying to progress and limit our mistakes and fix our mistakes. And coming out here, like I said, in front of the fans, you know, we want to go out here and show up and show out.
You just walk us through that play. That was a pretty neat play.
Well, you know, my job is to, you know, blow the top off, clear the safety, and run as fast as I can to open up the next guy. But, you know, my number was called, and, you know, Sean is a big guy. He jumped up. And Coach Cully talks about it all the time, you know, focus and concentration to the last minute. Fell right into my hands, and the quarterback made a nice throw, and, you know, I ultimately made a nice catch.
We love it when you send us your questions, and one of them was, who makes this team on the 53-man roster at the wide receiver position? To me, it feels like the New Hampshire primary or the Iowa caucus or whatever. I mean, isn't it way too early?
Way too early to tell. You see a lot of things on the practice field, but you've got to get them in game situations, see what goes on. Certainly, we talked about Hemingway a little bit ago. He's making a case. You know, you've got the ones that you know are going to start. But those last couple, I think, are up for grabs a little bit. And that may have a little bit to do with the receiving side of it and a lot to do with special teams, quite honestly.
That being said, we're sitting here on August the 3rd. You keep six receivers or five?
Oh, that's hard. I got to see how they perform. I want to see what that battle is at the end. I probably push towards six, but with me counting Dexter as a sixth. I mean, he's kind of your hybrid guy there. You can go all over the place, but we'll just have to see. It'll depend on a lot of things, quite honestly, numbers-wise.
You also get the sense that out of that group, you're going to have your sergeant major of special teams. And a guy like Terrence Copper, and I say sergeant major, he's right there with the battalion commander. He does all the stuff, but it seems like from the receiver core, there could be the four core kind of leader from special teams.
I think that's absolutely right, and that's what you should have, because those guys are athletic. They're obviously fast, and if they're not in on every play or a fair amount in terms of the offense in general, they need to be making a contribution, and it's got to be on special teams.
While we're on wide receivers, one of the subtle stories of this camp, and I had a great visit with him the first day of camp when the rookies got here and the quarterbacks, Andre Reed, the former Buffalo Bills star, amazing. I think he invented the crossing pattern. I tweeted that out because he ran that pattern better than maybe anybody's ever played the game or one of the top 10. And he's after your own heart because he played at Cutsdown. So small school Division II guy. He's here on the Minority Fellowship Program for the National Football League. What do you see from Andre Reed, and how much influence can he have with this receiving core? Because it seems like a lot of these guys are still developing.
Well, I mean, it almost goes without saying, but I'll say it anyhow. I mean, this is a guy who's a legend and has done it at the highest level and done it successfully. And as a wide receiver here, you should be trying to get to him every time you can and soaking up all the knowledge you can, because there's a wealth of knowledge there.
Well, he had a Hall of Fame type career, and this is Hall of Fame weekend. And again, the Kansas City Chiefs are represented because Curley Culp, one of those great guys on the defensive line back in the Chiefs' heydays of the 60s, leading up to their Super Bowl IV championship against the Vikings in New Orleans. And Curley Culp is getting inducted this weekend. But it also gives us a chance to take our own little trip right now. Let's go to Canton, Ohio, with a little special Chiefs flavor at the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Hi, I'm Jason Akins, Collections Curator of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and welcome to the Hall of Fame Bus Gallery, where we're going to be talking about all eight Kansas City Hall of Famers, starting with Class of 2009 Hall of Famer Derek Thomas,
who is the great outside linebacker, pass rushing specialist for the Kansas City Chiefs. Right next to Derek Thomas in the Class of 2008 is current Kansas City Chiefs defensive back coach Emmett Thomas, who is a great cornerback for the Kansas City Chiefs back in their heyday during Super Bowl IV. Speaking of that great Super Bowl IV team, we have the head coach, Hank Stram, who was the first coach of the Kansas City Chiefs back in 1960, and he led them to the best record of any AFL team. Up next, we have Jan Stenerud, the only kicker in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He was from Norway, and he was the starting kicker on that great Super Bowl IV team for the Kansas City Chiefs. Here we have Buck Buchanan, who was the number one overall pick in the 1963 draft. During his 13-year career, he only missed one game. Next on our stop of Chiefs Hall of Famer is Len Dawson, and the locals know him being from Alliance, Ohio, which is just about 15 miles down the road from Canton. Preceding Len Dawson in the Pro Football Hall of Fame is Class of 1986 Hall of Famer Willie Lanier, who was the first African-American to star at middle linebacker in the NFL, and his nickname was Contact. Here we have Class of 1983 Hall of Famer Bobby Bell, who was the first Kansas City Chiefs player inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He was a mainstay on the Kansas City Chiefs' great AFL defenses back in the 1960s. But the first Chief in the Pro Football Hall of Fame is Class of 1972 Hall of Famer Lamar Hunt, who was the founder not only of the Kansas City Chiefs, but also helped found the AFL back in 1960. And Lamar Hunt, another distinguishing fact about him is he's one of the few Hall of Famers that's wearing glasses. Be sure to come out and join us here at the Pro Football Fame in Canton, Ohio, and now you're in the know.
Time. Okay, there we go. Our own little trip to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame game is tomorrow night. If you want to scout the Cowboys, that's good. Give us a report because the Chiefs will play them in the home opener at Arrowhead Stadium. And I can still feel the heat of that one. I mean, that thing is already sold out.
There's no doubt.
It's on with that one. But what's also on is some real battles in the defensive secondary. And when we come back, we'll talk about the numbers game and how that could shake out with the Chiefs' much improved secondary when we come back on this edition of Chiefs Live.
This is a dorm room. But it's not an ordinary dorm room. Here, the lights are on at sunrise, and they're off at dark. Because at this school, the last thing you want to do is fail. This is Chiefs training camp at Missouri Western State University. Classes are now in session.
Welcome back to the Saturday night edition of Chiefs Live. Again, an incredible day today. Over 6,500 fans. Missouri Western was thrilled. Kurt McGuffin's doing an awesome job with this camp. But again, to recap before we get into the DBs, a real good day for the offense. Just recap what you saw today from Alex Smith and Chase Daniel.
You know, they're both doing a great job commanding the offense. There seems to be no indecision. I'm watching Alex Smith, quite honestly, get to his third read a fair amount of times, and I think that's impressive. And you can see his head turn. And then there's sometimes also, I think, where he's got a plan to get to a crossing route, but he's been taught or he knows to hold his head downfield and hold some people. Then all of a sudden he comes to that crossing route going left or right. You hit a guy in stride, that's big numbers. That five-yard pass becomes 65 yards, and that's a good thing. Chase is Chase. I mean, he's on top of his game. I think he's delivering the ball very well, very efficiently. And this is a guy, it's a luxury to have somebody like that at the number two right now.
Here's what's encouraging about Chase. And to be honest, I thought he had a rough start to this camp. Mm-hmm. But he's doing this. I see some ascension.
Right.
You know?
I agree. And I like the fact that I see him, like we've talked about, I see him talking to Alex, and I see him talking to Stanzi, and I see him talking to Bray. He's going all over the place, and that's good. That's what that position should be doing.
Well, speaking of positions, let's flip over to the other side of the football. A lot of you have questions, but so do we, quite honestly. And we watch these guys a lot today. 18 defensive backs on this roster right now, and here they are. Roughly 9 corners, 8 safeties, and then let's call it a hybrid, much like the Dexter McCluster of offense. On offense, the defensive guy would be Sanders Cummings here. This is a crowded list. On a 53-man roster, let's take a look at what you think would be there, not who's going to make it yet. That's too early. But numbers, how many do you keep? How many corners, safeties?
I think it's 9 or 10, and I lean towards the 10 number depending on how they're performing. I think you cannot have enough good defensive backfield folks. So it depends on how they're performing. I think you're going to have 4 corners for sure. 5 safeties, and then it's going to be that last one. Maybe it's a hybrid. I don't know. It'll just depend on how they're performing. Just like we talked, Mitch, about the wide receivers, the defensive backs, you've got to see them in game time when things are flying and they're going after it for real. So that will be interesting.
I want to ask you about scheme. We talked before the break about playmakers on offense within the scheme. Sometimes you have to make plays. Now, we've seen this a very aggressive Bob Sutton scheme. But let me put it on the defensive side. You talked about playmaking. Are you seeing plays being made within the scheme, or has, you know, much like the offensive side, guys being able to make that exceptional play? Is there that potential, and are you seeing it?
I think there is that potential. I am seeing it to a degree. There's not been a lot of interceptions, but I'll tell you right now, you had Brandon Flowers in here already, great corner. You bring in Sean Smith, you bring in Dante Robinson, you draft Sanders Cummings, you've got Kendrick here, you already had EB, a former number one pick. I'm going to tell you right now, this top 5 or 6, they are doing some good things. They can make plays. And I think in this attacking defense, where you're going to see defensive linemen getting to the QB, and maybe they don't make the sack, but if they just force the ball to come out a little bit early, now you've got some guys in the backfield who are very, very good at what they do. And now maybe you get an interception, you get a tipped ball, things of that nature. I like that. I think you're going to see some D-backs come off the edge quite often in the attacking style of defense that they've got. And these guys, I like it. I had a chance to walk up the hill today with Al Harris and talk to him about the defensive backs group. And, you know, I said just that, those top 4 or 5, are they special? Talk about this group. And what he said to me was they do have a chance to be very, very good, but they've got to get their timing down. They've got to, you know, become one, the terminology and everything, learning that. He likes what they're doing. And I'm going to tell you right now, just like you talked about the offensive side of the ball in terms of wide receivers going to Andre to talk about things, well, you got Al Harris back there and doing what he did for so long, being a press cover corner and being a very physical one. You should be trying to ask him everything all the time because that's a wealth of knowledge as well.
I feel like this is the best coaching staff that has been with the Kansas City Chiefs in 20 years. Al Harris is a big part of that. And I love the fact that you get Emmett Thomas, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Chiefs icon, but then you throw in Al Harris. I loved him as a player, and I've watched him in camp. I'm with you on that one. I watched Sean Smith a lot today, just kind of really focused on him. Man, he could be a special player because it looks like he's not just physically gifted. He's big. He again reminds me of those big Seattle corners. But what about his technique?
He's got great technique for a guy who's 6'2", whatever he is, and he's a big corner. He reminds me, and again, I'm not throwing him into this category yet, but he reminds me of a former teammate of mine, Rod Woodson, who is in the Hall of Fame, who I played with at Pittsburgh, in terms of a big corner who will get up and press you, has long arms, is physical, but has good technique. I mean, the guy just seems to have a penchant for getting to where the ball's at. I saw one time today, though, I think it was on Dexter's post,
yeah,
where he caught it for a touchdown. I think had he taken a little bit better angle, he had a chance at it. He made up a lot of ground, but what I thought was interesting was right after that, if you watched, Al Harris was right there, and they started talking. I like that. That's what you want in practice. That's what training camp is for.
Well, training camp's also for the safeties, and Eric Berry, of course, pro bowler. He's fought some hamstring issues, but he is asked to do a little bit of everything. You talk about Where's Waldo with the tight ends or Dexter McCluster. Berry's a little bit of the Where's Waldo on defense. Now, here's Waldo and his reaction to today's practice and about camp so far and the competition at defensive back.
Oh, man, I just love coming out here because, you know, we're going to get our best shot from our offense every time. And whether we win or lose on that rep, you can best believe they're coming back the next one. Or same thing for a period. Like, I believe yesterday we had a pretty good day going against the offense. And, you know, they came out and pretty much shredded us today. We had to kind of fight for our lives. And throughout the end of practice and stuff like that, we came out smoking. But, you know, it's just always competition. You always have to be ready. And I think that gives us the type of mentality that we have to have going out on Sundays.
Has that been exciting?
Oh, always. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime you step out on the field, it's definitely fun. But you know how it can get during camp, you know. And I think they do a good job of just putting us in situations where we can kind of forget we are at camp and just go at it with the offense and just realize that we out here for a bigger purpose. And I think that helps out a lot. I'm gonna just be pretty much all over the place. I've really had to get into my playbook just because. Like certain things that I didn't know in the past. Like I gotta know what to do as a linebacker, so to speak. Sometimes I'm rushing off the edge. Sometimes like I gotta stay on top of my game for the back end, like the safety position. But it's just so many different things that I gotta know what to do. And you know, I just pretty much based it on just the mess, just cause confusion on the opposing offense. So I guess that's pretty much my job.
Isn't that more fun than just sitting back?
Oh, yeah, that's always fun. Yeah, that's always fun.
What about EB now? I see him up near the line of scrimmage. Sometimes he's playing back. He's got to play zone. He's got to play man. He's all over the place. What about having to have a full tool chest with this guy?
Well, it's just that. He does have to know everything that's going on because he may be in the back playing cover one deep back there with a man press under. Sometimes you may get into dime, and now all of a sudden he may kind of be that hybrid linebacker. We've seen that as well. You may see him on the edge. You may see him up close to the tight end every once in a while. So he's really got to know a lot. And this is a guy who's definitely grown and is a true pro. And he's treating it as such. He's in the playbook rather, going after things. So not worried about that. But again, what training camp is for? You put a lot in and you get used to it and you want it to become unconscious competence. So you do it without thinking.
And I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but you start to see the early vestiges of a secondary, kind of like the Chiefs had in those late 80s, early 90s, where you got big-time corners and big-time safeties and depth. That encourages me at that spot. Now I want to ask you about a couple guys because you're asking us online here. Nico Thorpe is a guy I want to ask you about. Right in the mix here, we saw the big-time numbers game. What do you see from him?
You know what? I think he's doing a good job. I haven't followed him probably as closely as I should, but I've seen some good things. I think he's a four-core guy. I think he's probably in a battle a little bit with number 30, Jaleel Brown. I think that would make sense a little bit. But all in all, it's going to come down to game time and how he performs, I think, in the preseason.
And there's also some intrigue here with Sanders Cummings, the rookie out of Georgia. big hopes for this guy. Mm-hmm. Then he gets hurt on before anybody else really gets here. No pads are on. He injures his collarbone. Where does he fit into all this? Because someone tonight was asking about that.
You know what? I see him as a safety. I just think that's – I think he's got a big range. He's a lanky guy. I know he played corner a lot in college, but I just think this is a guy who has a chance to add something at the safety position, again, because of that range and the fact that he takes good angles. I think he's a physical guy as well. So that's where I see him right now. But, again, until we get him back on the field, we won't know for sure.
And another question came in, and that this begs the question – the fourth corner. You know it's going to be Flowers. You know Sean Smith. You know Dante Robinson. Who's the fourth corner?
Well, and that's what I'm talking about in terms of Brown and Thorpe. I think that's where it is. And then it becomes, okay, well, are they both playing so well that you want to keep those? So if that's the case, then you've got to look at the safety side of things also and say, okay, who's the odd man out if there's an odd man out there too? So, again, folks, Mitch talked about it before I got here, but the numbers game is so vitally important. I mean, there's so many things that affect it, and it's going to be interesting. We'll start to see and get a better idea as we get into these preseason games.
Well, let's go another numbers game here, and that is 2-4 equals 6, like pick 6. And that's Brandon Flowers, who has had some of the most exciting pick 6s as a defensive back in Chiefs history, a 91-yarder against Brett Favre against the Jets. This guy, to me, has been one who has defended the Alamo here. This has not been easy for him, necessarily, and yet there's times you see Pro Bowl kind of flashes. What have the additions in the secondary meant to Flowers? How does he fit the scheme, and what are reasonable expectations from him?
Well, I think he's going to have a chance to go hunting a lot this year because the fact is that you bring in Sean Smith, and now you've got somebody that maybe they want to throw away from on that side. So now all of a sudden maybe he can get a pick or two in the black hole and, like I said, go hunting because things all over the place. So
one of the great photos of all time.
Yes, it is. It was beautiful, quite honestly.
And let's be honest. The Chiefs may not win the division in 2010 if he doesn't get the pick six to beat Cleveland on the road when the offense was struggling.
Right.
So, I mean,
it's good. And this goes to the communication back there that Al Harris talked about because to me, if you're throwing away from Sean every once in a while and you're working on his side at all, if he has confidence in those safeties that he has protection over the top, I don't know if there's anybody who really breaks on a ball and really anticipates things as well as number 2-4. He does a very, very good job. And when he gets his hands on the ball, he normally doesn't knock it down. He gets his hands and he goes the other way, and I like that. I look for a big year from him. It could be a breakout year for him, quite honestly, fans.
Well, we appreciate all of you watching coast to coast and really beyond the borders of the 48 states all the way up throughout the other two states, United States, and around the world. But I've got a nephew and niece that watch us a lot, and they both went to Virginia Tech. Now, Brandon Flowers, in a way, with this new scheme, feels like it's the hokey pokey again, because Brandon Flowers loves this scheme because it feels like Blacksburg, Virginia.
It's what I love, and, you know, that's what I know starting from early days. You know, I just felt like I always played man-to-man coverage. That's what they installed at Virginia Tech. So I love the way we're getting pressure with the front seven just letting us lock up on the back end. I feel like it just compliments everybody in the secondary. To be honest, you know you can't worry about who's on the other side of you. In the NFL, you got to just worry about your own, who's lined up in front of you, you know, and just try to win every snap you can on the field. And, you know, Sean Smith playing ball right now, Dante Robinson playing ball right now. Last year's gone with. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to going out there making plays with my brothers who are in the circle with me this year. Oh, man, just being a player that played recently, you know, he knows what they expect on the field. He knows the route is hard for us. And just being there to relate, you know, he's trying to turn us into machines out there. You know, myself and Sean on the outside edge, and we buying all in because that was one of the press corners, best press corners in the game when he played. So anything he's dishing out knowledge-wise, we're taking it all in, trying to be the best.
Well, he's excited. And, again, he, like all of us in the Chiefs' kingdom, most of us anyway, have defended the Alamo. Now it's time to counterattack here. But I get a sense from him and watching him, he's ready to counterattack. What do you see?
Yeah, he just looks, Mitch, like he's having fun out there. And that's what football is. It's supposed to be fun. And he looks like he's having a good time. And I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of guys out there that look like they're really enjoying it. You heard DJ talk about it, that this is football. It's fun, man. And that's what you want from your star players. And that's the type of attitude you want. That's the type of leadership you want. I think Brandon is doing a great job of being a leader.
Well, we had fun today. It was an awesome day. 6,500 fans here. Again, you can go to my twit pic at Mitch Holtis, and you'll just see kind of the colors. It was awesome today. Now, I'm going to ask you about Dog Days. Final question before we close. tomorrow, Sunday, on pads. Monday looks like pads on. Tuesday looks like pads on. The New Orleans game looms on Friday, but you had already mentioned that looks like 3 weeks away. How do these guys handle the next 72 to 96 hours?
Well, I'm sure that Coach Reed will address it a little bit, but also your veterans step up and they let you know that, listen, this is where you really got to make hay. You've got to continue to evolve and get better, because when it comes down to it, you've got Wednesday off. Thursday's essentially a day off because you're traveling. So you're going to have plenty of time to get your legs back under you. You've got to make progress. You've got to continue to work your technique, learn to talk with each other, understand what everybody's doing, and if you do that, that's what helps makes a successful team, that even when the light's a little ways down, you're still working hard, you're putting the time in, and you're not just punching the clock. You're making a difference.
Interesting. You and I both had a chance to talk with Andy Reid today, and he mentioned the blend of veteran leadership, both the new veterans and the guys that have been here, and he's loving it so far. But they'll need it, as Kendall said, over the next 3 days as the tough camp here in St. Joe continues. And we'll keep you updated tomorrow night. Join us again right here with a Sunday night edition of Chiefs Live. For Kendall Gammon, I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. Enjoy your Chiefs Kingdom Saturday.